manner. And then that was coming down, but nothing. And then when you hear something, it almost sounds like you listen to the CB radio. And it's getting wild.
I know what you mean. I got licensed, I guess, in the early 80s, and repeaters were pretty hopping back then. I was active probably for close to 10 years, maybe about 8 to 10 years, pretty active in all the different bands, HF, VHF, all the different repeaters. And then between getting married and having kids and buying a house, kind of fell on the wayside for a good 10 years, and then I got back into it again. But it's true, and I've listened around, even with the Echolink, I can hook up to other countries, other states, and I've listened out in California, listened in the Midwest, and even this repeater, well, not so much this, the Brother 440 machine right now, out of Plainview, this gets activity in the morning during rush hour, and in the evenings, there's a regular group of guys that use this machine, and same thing over on 8.5. 8.5 gets some sporadic use during the day, I guess it depends on who's around. But it's definitely not as much, and I find that interesting because they're saying that the number of amateur licenses in the United States is at an all-time high. So I see a lot of people getting licensed, but you don't necessarily hear them all on the air. I don't know what they're doing.
I guess that would be one of the most, a little, I don't even know how often I deal with you. And yeah, I got my license. I was just happy to get it. Phone app to this study, remember I requested and then I realized that how much little I remembered from talking to my dad, being at the talk away with all the friends and seniors and stuff. And they just went back to me now. He's sitting in a piece now on the computer. I don't know if they you don't hear it when it's little technically, but I noticed the people who were talking before us were bumped other bumper next to other, really interesting things that anyone can begin, or at least tell it appears on, I don't know what kind of delay there is that go into use, breaking without breaking, never break with more than an emergency call.
Two others. They do a pretty good job with the net, with trying to leave breaks, but sometimes they get tied up in a particular conversation, or if there's three or four guys all talking on the same topic. And there's a series of beeps. We don't necessarily hear it through the echo link, but they hear it. Or if you're listening on the RF link, you'll hear the courtesy tone. And I know normally the tech that's over on the 8.5 on a 2-meter machine, we're accessing the 440 machine, the UHF machine right now. But they have, like, I think four different beeps that go off. But even if they wait for all four of those beeps until the carrier drops, we can't get in. So I know exactly what you're saying. Sometimes I've had to email one of my friends and say, hey, get on the radio, tell them I got something to say, you know, tell them to leave a pause for me. usually they try to make a conscious effort at least a few times during the night. So if somebody is on Echolink or IRLP, they can jump in. This net usually gets a bunch of guys from Canada checking in on a regular basis. And I think some from out in the Midwest, I want to say Utah, Nevada, one of those states, somebody usually checks in too. This is one of the Limehawk machines, and I'm trying to think what it used to be. I think it used to be WB2NHL, probably when your dad was active. I believe that was the call signs of it then. And it was always located, this particular, the UHF machine was located in Plainview, I believe. And then, I take that back. There was two 2-meter machines, the one on 8.5, W2VL, 146.85, and then there was one on 147, I think 375, that was WB2NHL, and that was in Plainview. And they, a number of years ago, they were able to get a site out in Selden, out in Suffolk County, and they moved the 2-meter, the 147 repeater out to the Selden site, and that is now W2KPQ, as well as the 440 machine. Now he was a member of the club. And I guess that's why they got his call for these two repeaters then. But they can link all three of them together at different times. Usually the two-meter machines are hooked together almost all the time to get good coverage on the island. But I noticed tonight they were actually able to hook up the UHF to the VHF also.
It's interesting. It's Connor coming back from here. I know who he was.
UPS Mobile, Pennsylvania. Yes, that's exactly who it was. That's his name. So that some of it does, like you said, it's coming back. So, but that's it's pretty neat. I remember when I was before I got licensed, I had a shortwave radio that also picked up the public service band. You know, the police and the fire department when they were down at 100, you know, around the 2 meters, 170 and stuff. But I was also able to pick up 2 meter ham band. And I was listening to it, and I don't know if it was FM at the time or if I was listening to 2 meter AM. This was, probably talking about early 70s. And I don't really remember what I had the radio tuned to, but I used to listen to the guys in their cars, and they were able to make a little patch phone calls way before cell phones and stuff. And I always thought that was the coolest thing. Couldn't wait. I had an interest in the radio at an early age, but I had nobody in my family. And my parents didn't know anybody who was ham, so I would have gotten licensed much sooner. It wasn't until I got out of high school that I saw they were teaching a class at Eisenhower Park, or you may remember it as Salisbury Park. And that's when I got licensed. I took the class and got licensed there.
Yeah, I remember Eisenhower Salisbury Park. I mean, it was my school. I had he bought it from somebody. He was 15 years old when I got it. It was birthday. I didn't get it. All going to sell off the shelf and then the birthday day. I still have it. Yeah, remember that the repeater, all buildings that were off the Hill Parkway, kind of passed around the rider line. I saw this call letter. I was thinking of passed away in 2010. I was thinking of Manchin and the call letter. I'm not sure. I saw it. I just decided to do that or not.
I think you should. I mean, if you have such a W-2 call, that'd be nice to have. And keep the call on the family like that. That would be a neat thing. You know, I've seen that happen before. In fact, there's a family out on Long Island. Father's name is Bob. I'm trying to remember, it's W2CYK, maybe. I may have this call wrong. And he's got his son, Jesse. And Jesse, his wife is also licensed, but Jesse got his grandfather's call, I believe. But they're all licensed. They all kept the call. I thought that was pretty cool. I've been trying unsuccessfully to get my three kids interested in ham radio, but haven't succeeded yet. My wife has her license, but she never gets on the air.
I can never
remember
much of it.
K2UPS mobile. Well, there's only three classes of license now, technician, general, and extra. There used to be novice, which was the beginning one, and that was limited to code only, although I believe, I don't know if the novice had 10 meter voice. I know the technicians now have voice privileges on HF on 10 meters, but every other band on HF is just Morse code. And then the advanced used to be between the general and the extra class. And I had that license, probably about the longest. And just a couple of years ago, I finally cracked down and studied and got the extra. But in order to get a 1x2 or a 2x1, you'd have to have an extra class. With a technician or general, you can get any 1x3, either a W-2 or a W whatever, K or N. That might work for you, but that must be pretty neat, though, working, do your kind of work, effects and stuff. I know the one, the TV show Last Man Standing with Tim Allen, they got a ham radio set up as part of that stage, and I actually sent a call sign to his fictitious call sign, which is, I think is KA0XTT for X Tim Taylor, and I got a QSL card back with a picture of him. I thought that was kind of cool. I've always been a fan of Tim Allen when he had the Home Improvement show. But on the set, they actually had radio set up. He's got all the wallpaper on it, you know, different QSL cards and awards and stuff. And he has actually been on the radio, I think, with several different episodes. And some of all the QSL cards on the wall are hams from right here in Long Island who were friends with, I think, either the director or one of the producers of the show. So they were able to get their cards put on the wall, so when they show a close-up of the station, you get to see their cards. So they get a kick out of that.
I remember, what show was it, I was going to wear her sweatshirt from these colleges in Clark. I remember they just went out and got to wear Clark. So we got to go work in it. So, yeah, real early in the morning. I worked really late last year, you know, 70 hours a week. I don't know, I don't know why, I know, but the driver was a lot of time. It's very tiring, but it has stuff to do.
I can imagine, that's a lot of hours, man. My wife's an accountant and a CPA, a partner in a local firm, and especially now come January 1st to April 15th, it's a crazy time for her. She puts in massive amounts of hours. When I first started with UPS, and I was just local, you know, working days, out of the little brown truck, you know, holiday time, we were working 12-hour days, sometimes longer. And then I got into the tractor-trailer division, and I was working nights and sleeping during the day. And then I got into doing the long-haul stuff, so, you know, now I'm away for 2 or 3 days at a time. But it works out. You know, the wife and the kids are good at home. They don't need the kids are. I'm blessed with three pretty decent kids that don't need a lot of supervision as far as schoolwork and stuff. They all pretty much buckle down and get it all done. So that makes it a lot easier for me when I'm out here.
I drove across the country a couple years ago, and my perspective on a long ride is definitely that happens. I used to always want to live really close to work, drive mentally, and definitely different. And now, I don't know how many miles, you know, how many miles to drive per day, 500 miles a day, and every month, coming somewhere, cycling, so it might last me still.
I mean, some people can handle driving, some can't. I happen to really enjoy driving, which is a good thing, because otherwise this job would really suck. But I do about 5,000 miles per week. Go New York to Chicago twice during the week, and then on the weekend we go to Louisville, Kentucky, which is where I'm coming home from now. And then all the way home from Louisville, the truck starts out in Mashpee, Queens, Long Island City. But when we come back from Louisville, we got two trailers. One of them goes to Melville off of Route 110, and the other one goes out in Suffolk County to Farmingville off of Horse Block Road, which is exit 63 off the Long Island Expressway. And after we drop off the second trailer, then we have to go all the way back into Queens to park the truck. So that's the leg that we're on now. If any luck, should be done at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. But they're expecting another 6 to 8 inches of snow here. It's going to be fun tomorrow.
I don't remember that much snow when I was living there. I just in 1 year. Yeah, I know Belleville pretty well. It's my parents ended up after they left me still. And still have to start here and there with this cat. I'm trying to figure out a plan to drive it. So I have a Explorer or whatever. I don't know. So let's just look in.
I actually almost prefer driving at night because it is a lot less traffic on the road. It's more trucks, less cars, and for the most part, the trucks work well with each other. You know, there's a couple of hot shots you always got to watch out for. Of course, when you get into the New York City, New Jersey area, it gets a little crazy with traffic. But other than that, it's not too bad. I get a lot of listening to audio books. You know, I can listen to newspapers and books as I'm driving, which helps. Satellite radio is a great thing. I get all the different stations to listen to, all types of music and talk shows. So, you know, the time goes by. And I call the kids and my wife a couple of times every day, you know, stay in touch with them when I'm not home. But I am home 3 days a week, so I really can't complain about it too much.
Not sure I like driving that much. But yeah, that's definitely good to catch up. I've seen some podcasts I like listening to. It's called Spirit Now. I'd recommend it. Like, a fascinating podcast about what's really going on. You're doing spirit privacy. It's hard to imagine. It's hard to believe they don't cover it regularly. I once had this. I'm going to try this now. Whereabout are you now? Maybe it's different to you before I go there.
KTUPS Mobile. Yep, still in Pennsylvania. A little bit further than I was before, though. I just got off the Pennsylvania Turnpike, or I-76, and I'm now on I-81, heading kind of northeast. And I just came through the little town of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. There's a lot of huge warehouses here. Amazon.com, and they got, I think, 5 warehouses really close to here. All sorts of big distribution hubs. It's a very popular place for warehousing and trucking because they can reach something like 90% of the country within a 1 to 2 day drive from this location. And the land is cheap, I guess, so they tend to put up a lot of warehouses here. But I'll take this up to I-78, go a little bit further, then I gotta wake up my partner and do a team operation, and then he'll drive the rest of the way, and I'll go in the back and go to sleep for a few hours before we get back into New York.
That's great that you have people in the job. A year ago I had a piano on this clip. I'm really happy to get it. People who did it did a great job. But I was surprised at how fast they made it. So many music, my day, and they had to go to some other places to jump the gun on those. But I'm trying to imagine if you have a cab,
to L.A., I believe. KCUPS, name is Rich, and you have Walter also, who's out in L.A., California. AC2LA, go ahead.
I am on Echo Link. I'm still on there, Echo Link, and through the microphone. A lot of wind in my talking, I hear. And where did you say you were out of? Sounds like you're from calling from the radio.
KPUPS Mobile. That's correct, Dan. I'm in Pennsylvania right now on I-81 North, just a little north of Carlisle. I'm heading to Frystown, which is about 40 minutes away from here or so, and that's when I'll wake up my partner and let him take the wheel for the last leg in. Your call sounds familiar. I know I've spoken to you before, but I think it's been maybe a few months or so since we've spoken. And Walter, the furthest that I've had to drive as far as work goes from New York is Denver, Colorado. That was a nice run. I was trying to get that on a permanent basis, but they didn't keep it. We left early, I think it was Monday morning, and just made one run straight out to Denver, dropped a load, picked another one up to bring back to New York, and came back home, and we were home Thursday, around lunchtime, maybe mid-afternoon. And then you were off Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So, you know, about like a 3.5 day time, you just did that one run out and back. And I would have really liked to have gotten on that one, but like I said, they unfortunately they didn't keep that job around. Walter, go ahead.
Yeah, that sounds like a nice run, Colorado. Was it, the earth was so pretty, but it might come off a lot harder to drive.
Unfortunately, no, because we're on a pretty tight schedule as far as where we have to be, and I do have a layover, like on the second trip into Chicago. We have to wait for a train that comes in from California, and they unload they take the trailers off the train, put them on the ground, and we hook up and we bring them the rest of the way out east. And sometimes, depending on the weather and the time of year, I might have anywhere from a 2-hour wait or layover to as much a 6 or 8 hour. In fact, sometimes they even put us up in a hotel if the train gets really messed up and delayed for too long. But no, I don't really get a chance to do much sightseeing while I'm working, but I do make notes of places that I'd like to go back and visit sometime, you know, take a cross-country trip for vacation or something. And, then I would take the time, but I can't do it while I'm working.
Oh, sorry.
You go ahead, Dan. I'll answer when it comes around to me again. It depends. It's like when I'm driving now, even though I have somebody else with me, he's in the back sleeping. So it's not like we're up here chit-chatting a lot. I mean, we do a little bit when we first switch drivers, but it's still basically, you know, I'm alone and it's quiet unless I'm on the radio or something. Driving with my family in a car is a completely different story. You know, you got to keep stopping the bathroom. The kids are always like, "Oh, we didn't get it. We didn't get it." It depends. But now that my two older kids are driving, they help out, and it's actually quite enjoyable to sit in the passenger seat sometimes because I'm able to actually look around and see things that I don't normally see when I'm driving because I'm focused on the road. You know, now they're driving, so I can look around and see other stuff. So it's, I've actually been enjoying that. Little Harry getting them licensed by teenage drivers. They've been good so far. Walter.
I do most of the driving when we go on trips, and I do enjoy a lot when I think my wife drives. You just look around and stuff, you just can't see when you're on the road. I don't have any kids to worry about what helps with driving, sure, but my I have a friend who takes up to the pilot. I did kind of the same time away as you are. He ends up in crazy and out of different time zones and spending, you know, overnight in different countries and stuff. I think he's going like home working on his car or something.
Okay, Donald, it's currently 37 degrees on my dashboard, which is fairly accurate, and it was a wintry mix for about the last 200 miles or so in Pennsylvania, but now it's just rain, although the temperature is supposed to drop, and sometime, I think, around daybreak on Long Island is when it's going to switch over to all snow, and originally they said 2 to 5, now they upped it 6 to 8 inches, and that's for, you know, pretty much Nassau and Suffolk straight across, so we'll see. It should be snowing most of the day tomorrow then, but I got four-wheel drive, so I'm not too concerned about that. Walter?
Which four-wheel? My one big reason I left that California here, where I live in the LA area, and I think his wife needed her own time to drink, celebrating Christmas, and so it was a but for the most part, I felt not so free now that that's just has to do it. I sort of told that in the video show, so I don't know where it was, the person to get an accident with the truck driver flying along the middle of the road.
Okay, down 7-3. Well, it's fun to make those QSOs from the car. I know during the summer months when I used to go down to Philadelphia every night, I was able to talk to the New York repeaters, not using a linking system or anything, but the RF was actually going from Philadelphia back up to New York and going through the local repeaters up there. So that was a lot of fun. 7-3, have a good night. Walter?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun back then. Just knowing that he was doing that on I used to dad go to Ohio.
K2UPS. You're talking about the Dayton Hamvention. They still have that. I only went once back in the mid-80s, shortly after I got licensed. I drove out there. That was a lot of fun to do, but I'd like to go out again. But then this year now, with the 100th anniversary of the ARRL, they're going to have a convention up in Hartford in July. So I took that week off, and I'm going to be going up there for that. It's going to be a Thursday, Friday, Saturday event. In the middle of July, so I'm looking forward to that.
That sounds neat. At the, like, civic center over there, I used to go to school there when the college at University of Hartford. Where they're located, why else would they have that there? I don't know. Could be a lot of people. What they would be doing.
Hopefully there's a lot of people. It works out, but the ARRL headquarters is in Newington, Connecticut, not too far from Hartford. I think they'll be taking you over by bus if you want to see a tour of the headquarters and the different radio stations and antenna setup that they have there. They'll be busing you from the convention over and giving tours during the convention, you know, during the day. The way it's set up right now, Thursday is supposed to be these all-day day-long different seminars on different radio topics. Friday is going to, I believe Friday and Saturday are also going to have seminars, but they're going to be shorter duration, like maybe an hour long each type of thing on shorter topics. Plus the hand fair where you can buy new equipment, used equipment, that sort of stuff. Supposed to be a big dinner Friday night. And I'm trying to think what else I might be leaving out. I think that's about it.
field and visual. Well, so many options, so many different things. It's complex. I remember.
Thank you for visiting the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link clear.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
Sorry, I may have this information wrong, but I believe the astronomy net is every other Thursday night. There's also a computer net that meets once or twice a month also. They got a bunch of different nets on here that you can listen and listen into. But if you check the webpage out, it'll give you the dates, the weekdays and the times that all the different nets are.
I'll look that up. You know, in the past, you were talking about Florida. I had my dad, had a box of them. I'm wondering if they have any, any dark value or anything from people that have been about club or something. I don't know, so I'm going to buy it.
KTUPS Mobile. Well, if you're talking about cards that your dad received for making contact with other stations, they're not really going to have any value, and nobody could use them. You couldn't use them for credit towards an award because they're not your cards, they're your dad's cards, and have his calls on it, even if you change the call. That being said, there are people that do collect them, kind of like they collect post stamps, I guess, especially the old ones. If you have cards from countries that no longer exist, maybe if you have cards from somebody like the King Hussein of Jordan, JY1, something like that, that may be worth something to somebody. But in general, I would say they're not really going to have value other than, to the ham who originally made those contacts, or to, like you, a member in the family. I know what you mean about the swap, the ham fairs and stuff they have. But of course, when the people are buying, they want to pay you as little as possible, and when you're selling, you're trying to get most you can, and sometimes the two are far apart. But it's still interesting. But I still like all the old tube gear. Now, of course, it's all solid state, different type of equipment. But it's still pretty cool. And that the ham fair that you went to is probably at the Berkeley, the Berkeley College. It's over near the old Grumman property off of Stewart Avenue and Beth Page. So they used to have it out at Islip Speedway, I think. They also have it in the Levittown Hall off Levittown Parkway. Those are the indoor ones. And then the outdoor ones are at the college and that page.
Yeah, I remember the one in Islip. Prior to Islip, had the lobby set a parking lot for, it wasn't that college, it was another college, Hofstra maybe? No, not Hofstra. I don't remember. My dad was actually in charge of the convention, right? To do all the hot dogs. So it was an amazing. My brother sort of running in when my dad was running around buying stuff. Later on here, I went there. We had a friend who went there. We sold a bunch of things, and he had a lot of stuff that didn't sell, and he didn't want it back, so he would just pick it up and just walking around the other people's tables. And it was so funny. We were watching this guy discovered all these things that come with grab, up at the table. He just packed it up, the trunk, drove off of it. My friends are really happy that they didn't have to take this stuff home. And back then, it was a good time.
Hey, I used to like doing that at the end of the handshake when it's getting time, people pack up. You could usually get the best prices then, because they did not want to pack it up and bring it home again. So, you know, first thing of the day, the prices are up. Near the end of the day, the prices go down. So, that's true. And nowadays, most people don't even exchange those QSL cards anymore either. There's a lot of electronic transfer of information and record keeping now. There's a group out there called the EQSL, where you can make electronic versions of the QSL cards and send back and forth, and then you can print them out if you want to print them out or just leave them in a computer. And then the ARRL sponsors one called Log Book of the World, where it's all, you get like a unique ID number so that your computer talks to their computer, and it makes sure that nobody else can get into your records except you, that type of deal. And then you upload all of your contacts for a certain period of time, and then let's say you work at a station in France and another station in Germany. Well, then if they upload their information, the computer then compares your log and their log, and if it matches up, then it gives you credit for that contact. So you don't necessarily have to exchange the cards anymore. It's really gotten quite expensive, you know, especially if you're going to do overseas. You're talking multiple dollars for each card just to get it. Sometimes you got to put some dollars in the envelope as well.
Right, I never thought about that. I just remember my dad had some cards, and I didn't know contests for going on a trip there. There was another group, mine was. It was another little radio group. I found their picture, kind of an old black and white picture of yeah, a couple other guys. Still a company, I can't think of right now, but I thought it was on it. I'll think about it.
Well, there used to be in Philly, there's quite a few different clubs. There's the Watch Amateur Radio Club, the Nats Amateur Radio Club, the Grumman Amateur Radio Club, Longfield, Great South Bay, Peconic, what's the one in Queens, the Hall of Science. There's a whole bunch of them. But how active they all are, that's another story. Amazing. Yeah, you got to be careful with stuff like that. There was just an article in a local newspaper about a guy who works in one of these like secondhand or clothing stores or Goodwill where people drop off old clothing and then they resell it. And he was going through this old suit and he found $43,000 bundled up in $100 bills. And a lot of them were older bills dated from like the 1930s. And he was able to, I guess he found a receipt for who dropped the, who told the clothes, and he contacted them, and it was a family whose father had passed away, and they cleaned out the closets and brought the stuff to Goodwill, but unbeknownst to them, I guess the father didn't trust banks. He had all his cash stuffed in his old suit. So, you've got to make sure you go through that stuff.
Yeah, I know. We got to be more careful after that, but
Thank you. 2EB into ZEP.
Okay. Gary?
I said, are you still pushing me to pick up 220 equipment?
Don't bother. Really, don't bother. Don't. I don't want you to even think about it. Not another second. Not another second thought. Or thought sec, whatever. What can I say? I had my standby shift Saturday evening into Sunday morning. That was pretty cool. Got to watch four Rocky movies, an old Sean Connery movie. I don't know what other stuff I was looking at.
Oh, when I get those kind of things, I bring the gun father with me. Well, you were assigned to just sit there and wait in case something happened?
And we were covering all the outer boroughs. If, God forbid, let's say a vehicle struck a utility pole and took out any of Time Warner's equipment or their fires or anything else, we were there in place so that there would be minimal downtime. Minimal. It was all about the Super Bowl, kids. Nobody wanted to have their systems go down during the Super Bowl, so they had lots and lots of crews all over the place on standby.
That's okay. They had one of our guys there. They had one of our guys there, Richie. He was actually there at MetLife Stadium. In the parking lot, with all the tractor trailers with equipment for the... You ready? He was there in case... You ready? The John Deere Gator did not start. That's the only reason why he was there.
You gotta be kidding me. For one piece of equipment, they had someone on call the entire game?
From 6 o'clock yesterday morning until the place cleared out. I got a text from him 3:30 this morning that he was just pulling in his driveway.
I'll bet you he made double time too, Gary.
Double time and a half.
Did he get to see the game?
Yes, he got to see the game, but he got to see the game in a production trailer.
So he got to watch 20 views at once.
Yes. And then the funny part was, in his text he says, well, being I just got home, I don't think I'm going to Brooklyn for my first service call today.
Hey, Rich, I'm up to the CIV, and so far no problems.
I just got on to the three-laner, east of the four-laner, and we're not flying at all up here. We're moving, but not flying. So, at least alternate side of the street parking is suspended today.
Yes, but feed the meters.
Now, you still have to feed the meters, but it's suspended, so you still have to feed the meters. You always have to feed the meters.
I wonder if there's like an Armageddon, you know? Complete devastation of Manhattan if we would still have to feed the meters.
I'd be surprised if the cops didn't ticket a car that was totally disabled after a flood if the meter expired.
Sure, they did that all over lower Manhattan after Sandy.
Yep. I went to that thing on Saturday, Richie. That thing. I got the shake. news, how they're going to prepare the citizens of New York to be survivors. Come on. The citizens preparedness corps, they're calling it. They held one in Farmingdale and one up in Rochester. They're doing them all over the state. And you get up there and the National Guard is going to teach you how to properly secure your house if you have to evacuate it, and to turn off the gas, to turn off the electric, and yada, 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 yada. And then when you're all done with it, you get a backpack full of goodies. But I got to hear our esteemed governor crack some good jokes.
What was in the backpack? A flashlight, a personal first aid kit, some MREs, and maybe a bottle or two of water.
Oh, Gary, you're pretty close there. There's a collapsible water container. There was a pair of gloves, safety goggles, a first aid kit, not bottled water, but bottled in this aluminum, like, tubes, purified emergency drinking water, a flashlight, a little tiny radio, a drop cloth, I guess, in case you want to paint, masking tape, the MREs, and what else? There's something else, and I can't remember what it was. Oh, a whistle, and a emergency blanket, one of those silver blanket thingamajigs.
Oh, what the drop cloth was for, John.
Yeah, to make a tent.
Oh, that was for wrapping the dead bodies.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, here I am, crawling east of 34.
That's exit 34 on the LIE. You got four exits to go before the problem. They announced it earlier.
Loved it coming home in the fog, the pea soup thick fog on Sunday morning, and even by the way, zooming down the Long Island Expressway at breakneck speed, and the electronic sign that you could barely read said, caution, pothole ahead, center lane. Avoid at all costs, or something like that.
I know that pothole. That one hurts.
I'm laughing because I'm going, they're putting it up on the electronic sign, which you can't even read, and if you missed it, you're zooming along at 75 miles an hour. In fog, you can only see...